Well, Father, I thank you for Brett and Nancy, and I thank you for putting them in their offices this morning. And I thank you for all the people come out this morning to hear your word and to worship with you. And Father God, open up their spiritual ears so they can hear what thus saith the Lord this morning. And Father, let us all in one mind and one accord gather together in love and fellowship and learn to be just like your Son, Jesus. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to talk about the faith factor this morning. Hebrews 10:38 says, "Now the just shall live by faith." See that? "But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in me." The faith, the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Hebrews 11:1, "Now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds," excuse me, "were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." Everything we do is by faith. Yeah, excuse me, I sang too much and too loud. Question, is a gift of faith operating in your life, or was it present sometime in the past? An awful lot of people are teaching on faith right now, and I know this because our faith has diminished, and God is trying to get us to build up our most holy faith once again for what's coming in the future. Luke 18:8 says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? All right? When God is dealing with his people, there is one key virtue that seems to attract our Father's favor, and that virtue is faith. Why? Because faith comes from the heart. Romans 10:6-11 says, "But trusting God to shape the right living in us is a different story. No precarious climb up to heaven to recruit the Messiah, no dangerous descent into hell to rescue the Messiah. So what exactly was Moses saying? The word that saves is right here, as near as the tongue in your mouth, as close as the heart in your chest. It's the word of faith that welcomes God to go to work and set things right for us. This is the core of our preaching." Right here. Jesus already died. You don't have to run up to heaven and you have to go down into hell. You get your faith will get you saved right here today. Verse 9 says, "Say the welcoming word to God, Jesus is my master." Embracing body and soul, God's work of doing in us what he did in raising Jesus from the dead. And that's it. You're not doing anything. You're simply calling out to God, trusting him to do it for you. That's salvation. With your whole being, you embrace God setting things right. And then you say it right out loud. God has set everything right between him and me. Now, scripture reassures us, no one who trusts God like this, heart and soul, will ever regret it. There comes a time in your life, saints of God, where you have to grow up and stay grown up. You have to put all your childish things behind you, and you can no longer cling to the past, but you have to put your eyes to the future. You have to forget what happened in the past and place your eyes upon the Father. And no matter, God says, don't look at your circumstances. And the only way you cannot look at your circumstances is by having faith in God, knowing that he has everything totally and completely under control. Now, you know, last, I told my husband, I think I'm going to go through deliverance because I get angry at the drop of a hat. And that all came about because one of the people that I, you know, have a bill with, every month they say I didn't pay my bill, and I have to go through this thing. Well, this month they got smart with me, and I got upset. And I'm quite sure he put it on speakerphone so everybody there could hear what I had to say, because I was really upset. And he said, "Well, I don't care what your bank says, but I had the facts in front of me. You know, my bank said they took out the $100, but they're saying I didn't." Well, anyhow, I got upset, and I said, "God," I said to Larry, "there's something wrong with me, because I shouldn't have got angry like that." So I went to God about it last night, and God said, "You are angry, and you're angry with me. And I said, how am I angry with you? He says, you won't admit it, but you're angry with me because I have not done the things I promised you as of yet. You're angry with me because you think I'm dragging my feet. And, you know, so I suggest to all of you in here this morning to really think, are you really angry with God because he has not fulfilled the promises that he's given you? I mean, he talked to me about a bunch of other things too, but, you know, I was shocked, sort of, because when he explained, I said, you're absolutely right. I guess I am mad at you because I've been waiting for so long and you haven't done this thing yet. So you see, you know, if I really had true faith, really that faith that, you know, just surpasses anything else, I wouldn't be upset that he hasn't done what he's promised me as of yet. I would have faith to believe that he would see me through, and that he knows exactly when to do it and how to do it, instead of saying, why aren't you doing it? Why haven't you done it? So every one of us has to work on our faith walk. Every one of us has to be honest with ourselves, look within, and don't look around about you, see who's making you upset, but look within, what caused me to react like that? All right? Romans 10:12 is exactly the same no matter what a person's religious background may be. The same God for all of us, acting the same incredibly generous way to everyone who calls out for help. Everyone who calls help, God gets help. When you cry out to God, he gives you. When I cried out to God, what is wrong with me? I need this delivered out of me. He told me what my problem was. He gave me my help. But how can people call for help if they don't know who to trust? And how can they know who to trust if they haven't heard of the one who can be trusted? And how can they hear of if nobody tells them? And how is anyone going to tell them unless someone is sent to do it? That's why Scripture exclaims, a sight to take your breath away. Grand processions of people telling all the good things of God. If everybody in here would really go tell all the good things of God instead of telling them how, oh, the devil's really on my head today, you know, and magnifying God, the devil instead of God, we would probably get more people saved. Verse 16 says, but not everybody is ready for this, ready to see and hear and act. Isaiah asked what we all ask at one time or another. You ask this many times, you two. Does anyone care, God? Is anyone listening and believing a word of it? See that? When we are going about our daily lives striving for success, faith is often overlooked. I want to stop here. You know, we have somebody staying in our house again that's on drugs, you know. And so I was bathing the baby last night, and he likes that song, This Little Light of Mine, I'm Going to Let It Shine. So he was playing in the bathtub, and we were singing that song, you know, and the young man was sitting out on the porch, and I didn't know, but I really didn't care. So he heard that song, me singing that song. And so my grandson came in and said, he stopped at the bathroom door, and he laughed. He said, you have Brad out there singing This Little Light of Mine, I'm Going to Let It Shine. He said, I was listening to your grandmother in there singing that, and I remember that as a young child going to church. And he said, and I just can't get out of my head. So you don't know who's listening to you. You know, if I didn't have faith in God, I wouldn't be sitting there singing This Little Light of Mine, you know. So we don't know who we're touching. We don't know when we're touching him. But it's our faith in God, knowing that he's well able to keep us no matter what we're going through. And he's well able to bring it to pass when he wants to bring it to pass. All right. What does the word tell us faith is? In Hebrews 11:1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. 5 years ago, God said to me, daughter, from this moment forth, your walk with me is going to be total faith. And I didn't realize it, but he was telling me, you're not going to hear me all the time for a season. And you're just going to have to go forth and trust me, knowing that I'm in control. So some of you might be in that state right now. God's really not telling you what's going on. He's wanting you to learn to walk by faith and not by his still small voice. He's still speaking to you, but he wants us to walk by, if you don't hear God at all, you still walk by faith, knowing that God is still doing the things and working out the things the way he said he would. All right? Genuine faith is the greatest gift that God can give. us by faith, every other promise and revelation is received. Our genuine faith is the greatest gift that God can give us. By faith, every other promise and revelation is received. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Listen to this. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. If you don't believe that God is, then you're not going to receive anything from God, because it's impossible to please him if you're not walking in faith. As you read about Abraham and Sarah, they walked by total faith. Faith is deemed absolutely necessary to please God. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. See that? You were saved by grace, but through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, and that we should walk in them. You know, it's by faith you get out of bed in the morning, isn't it? Some mornings, as older folks, you say, oh, can I even get out of bed? You know? Faith initially comes from God by grace. It is always unearned, given freely. Faith is unearned favor from God. Faith is unearned favor from God. We can never boast in our faith because it never originates with us. All right. We give our faith back to God with thanksgiving by praying fervently for his will to be done on earth and by obeying his word. It is a cycle of giving and receiving. As you use it, it grows. We must understand that there are faith enhancers and there are faith killers. Usually these faith factors operate through people or through situations. Faith is always toward God, not man. Faith is always toward God and not man. In fact, when you value man's approval too highly, you can deplete your faith. I don't care what anybody thinks about me. They didn't call me, right? God did. And if you're not pleased with what I'm doing, you take it to the Father, and he'll tell you to mind your own business. Amen? He will. Faith is tangible and it is measurable. It can increase. If you have some faith, you can get more faith. If you have some faith, you can get more. Faith is always contagious. Some people carry it and impart it. Others drain it away. Which are you? What kind of people do you associate with? Let me stop there and say, when I had a church in my home, my niece got in an automobile accident and she couldn't speak. And so I went out there to Virginia and brought her to my house, knowing that God would heal her. Well, we was in church one Sunday and I started praying for her healing, and I could feel my faith. Have you ever felt your faith building up? And I felt my faith building up, and I just knew that God was ready to loose her tongue and let her speak. But here's what I did. I realized all of a sudden that all the other people were talking and mingling among themselves. Nobody was praying with me for her, so I quit. To this day, she still doesn't speak, and that's been 30 years ago. Don't worry about what people's doing around about you. You use your faith, and you allow God. She would have been speaking today if I wouldn't have done that. Because I know when my faith's built, faith is building. Just like when I prayed the dog back to life, I felt, as I prayed, I felt that faith grow and grow and grow until there the dog was. And just like this, my niece, I felt my faith growing and growing and growing. It was right there. And I know it was a trick of the enemy to take my eyes off of God in my prayer and of that young lady and then just stop praying. You have to understand that you have to answer to God for what you do. It's not what the people around about you are doing. I'm talking about in a church service. It's what you are doing. And if God's having you do something, then you aren't mindful of anything that's going on around about you. It's you concentrating on God and what he's telling you to do. All right? It's amazing to me how people would just, they really aren't doing what God wants them to do. They're doing what they want to do. And they don't accomplish anything, and then they blame it and everything else, but the right person and that person is you. This is why I think it's so important when we're doing altar work that you aren't sitting back there giggling and talking and discussing supper or something. If you're going to do that, you should leave the sanctuary, because you're really interrupting the Spirit and you're making the atmosphere heavy with your worldly talk. That's why I don't allow that to, I really try to discourage that, because it's not the place to talk whenever we're still ministering at the altar. Amen. If you didn't have faith and God speaks, faith arrives. If you didn't have faith and God speaks to you about something, faith will rise up within you. Okay, God spoke in. Therefore, it's going to come to pass, because he doesn't speak idle words. Right? Faith lays foundations for further advancement. Faith grows step by step. Romans 4:1. What then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? Let me just stop there. I'm going to give you another example. When I was first born again, I just believed everything, you know. And this is what you should do. And we was at this church. You know, I was at church where I was going to church. And they believed in deliverance and everything. And when we were ministering at the altar, not deliverance, but we were ministering at the altar. And this one lady's head was turned sideways constantly. And I knew that God wanted to set that woman free. And I knew somehow, rather than my spirit, even though I didn't know what I know now, I knew that that was a spirit holding her head in bondage. Well, I was praying and praying and praying, and I could feel. I could feel my faith was building, and I could feel that thing starting to let go. And the pastor came by and tapped me on the shoulder. He said, "Don't do that no longer. Let her alone. She doesn't want to be set free." And he wouldn't let me pray for her no more. And she still to this day is bound like that. I wasn't doing deliverance either. I was just saying, God, set her free from this, whatever this is that's holding her head in bondage. Just because you think that somebody isn't going to be set free doesn't mean God isn't speaking to the person that's doing the ministering to that person. Amen. On that vein, I want you to know that we don't do deliverances here anymore at the altar, because I found out it's really messing other people up. And everybody really that's been here and spirits manifest, they're already set up for a deliverance. And the spirits are just, you know, they're under the anointing, so they manifest. So I don't want anybody doing any type of deliverance anymore at the altar, because it's messing other people up, and we've had some complaints about it. All right, we have them set up for deliverance. Then little spirits can be put in a box. They've been there a long time, and they can just wait for their deliverance day. So I said, if you didn't have faith and God speaks, faith arrives. Faith lays foundations for further advancement. Faith grows step by step. Romans 4:1 says, what then shall we say that Abraham, our father, has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. See that? For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Isn't that what the scripture says? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. In other words, if God tells you that he's going to do something in a situation in your life, and then instead of you letting him do it, you get in there and you try to get it done, that's works. See, and God isn't blessing that. But if God, if you have a situation in your life and God tells you that this is what I'm going to do about this situation, then what you have to do is get your hands off of it and just let God go ahead and do it. Doesn't matter how long it takes to do it. You know, because I just said, I said, God, when are you going to do this? See, that's when he's saying I was angry with him, because I wasn't trusting him. I was trying to make him do it in my timing and not his. Are you understanding that? So whenever you're trying to do what God said he would do, then that's works. It's not faith. All right, you say, well, God said he's going to set him free. Well, he didn't tell you he was going to use you to set him free. God said he was going to set him free. You understand this? Romans 4:16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. How many of you have situations in your life and God said, oh, they're going to be a great and mighty man of God, you know, and you look at this, how is God going to make this into a great and mighty man of God? That's not your problem. You're not God. God knows exactly what he has to do to get the thing done the way he wants. And just like there's a situation in my life, and I said, and when God was telling me I was upset with him, he said, now let's just talk about this. And he said, this is what I'm going to have to do to accomplish what I told you I would do. And I don't like what he has to do, but he has to do it in order to get that person's attention. So you might not like what goes on in a person's life, but that's the only way God can get their attention, you know. This person's going to be on a deathbed and just about die. And it's in while they're in the throes of death that they're going to turn themselves around and cry out to God. And then God's going to accomplish all the things he's been promised me that he's going to do. So we don't know how bad things can be, right? He said, you, and he said to me, he said, you cried out and cried out. Don't send him to jail. Don't send him to jail. He said, so I'm not going to send him to jail, but they're going to be on a deathbed. Are you listening? So he's answering my plea, but not the way I thought he would. He said, everybody has to pay for their crime. All right? So guys, if you see something that you didn't think is right, that's the only way God can get that person's attention. And let God go. Let God do the works he has to do. And you keep your fingers out of it. Amen? You know, when God, here's how God works with me. I'm just going to throw this in there because I am walking in faith and a lot of things are going on in my home. But, you know, my grandson is going with this girl. I never asked God about her at all, period. I don't really care no more about these things, you know. But God spoke to me and said, daughter, the one he's with is not the one he's supposed to be with, and you won't end up with her. So I thought, should I tell him that or shouldn't I tell him that? And then I said, I'm not going to tell him that. He'd get mad at me, you know. So I was walking down the hallway and I passed him and I said, by the way, and I start crying. I said, please don't get upset with me, but I'd like to tell you something. He looked at me and says, go ahead. What do you want to tell me? And I was really crying and I know that's God on me, you know. And I said, God said, the one you're with is not the one you're going to end up with and you're really not supposed to be with her. He said, I know all that. And he says, and I'm not even looking at it that way. I just need somebody to talk to. You. And then, you know, I walked away. I was happy. He was happy, you know. But, you know, and I didn't know if I should tell him or not. But God just moved. You know how God moves on you. And I start crying. Well, that's you, God. And so he said, you can quit crying, Mama. I'm not mad at you. but see, it's your faith. You know, God, I have faith in you. You're going to move on me is what I'm trying to get at. And let me speak when you want me to. And you'll keep my mouth shut when I'm not supposed to speak. And really, if you're, well, like he told me, he said, I want you to quit conjuring up things you're going to say. How many of you do that? You know, if they do this, this is what I'm going to say, this. He said, I want you to stop that because what they're saying, they're not going to do anyhow. They're just blowing off steam. And I want you to quit sitting around conjuring up what you're going to say. So how many of you are as guilty of that as I am? Well, I'm going to do this and this and that. You know, no, you're not either. You're just going to be quiet and you're just going to let God, if he wants you to speak, he'll do like he did me. Just, I'll start crying, you know, and I know it's him and he'll just open my mouth and the words come out. They come out fine. All right. So I know some of you are as guilty as I am of that. So we'll just stop that. Right. All right. Let's start at verse 17, Nancy. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old in the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. Here he was, an old man, and God's telling him he's going to have a son. And how many of you know how many years later he had that son? 25 years later, he finally had that son. Amen. Does that make him 125, right? And being fully convinced that what he had promised and what God had promised Abraham, God was also able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. In other words, Abraham didn't care what God spoke to him. He knew if God spoke it, God was going to bring it to pass. We're not there. Don't say you are. We're bad. But I'm hoping that after this morning, that whatever God tells you, doesn't matter how long it takes, doesn't matter what the situation looks like, you know in your heart that God is able to bring to pass what he just spoke. All right? And we all have to admit that sometimes our situations look absolutely impossible, that there's no way it could turn out the way God said it's going to turn out. But it does if you have faith and you believe. Faith connects our present need with God's eternal supply. Faith connects our present need with God's eternal supply. One of the reasons why I'm teaching on faith right now is because God does want to bless us financially. He really does want to bring all that to pass. But if we don't have faith to believe, if we keep looking to circumstances, we're not going to receive it. Are you hearing this? You can nullify that promise that God has given you by looking at the situation and letting doubt override your faith. Faith grants endurance. Faith can see beyond the temporary into tomorrow. No, you can't. Don't tell me you can, because you don't. You just talk about what's going on right now. Don't we do that? So then faith can see beyond the temporary into tomorrow. So as of today, we are going to look at the temporary, what we see right now. We're going to look into, we know that God's taking care of it. We're just going to go on and go with God. And we're not even going to think about it anymore. God, when you want to do it, you're going to do it. Because you can't hurry. Believe me, you cannot hurry God. He doesn't care who you are. You can be the apple of his eye and, you know, and everything else. You cannot hurry God. Faith overcomes the devil and counteracts the pull of sin. Faith overcomes the devil and counteracts the pull of sin. I don't know all the reasons for it, but I do know that God honors faith. Maybe it is simply because faith honors God. Bob Larson used to say that a father could be not saved but have faith knowing that something's going to happen in their life, and he would have the father pray and make that devil leave that person. You know, and the devil had to leave, and the father wasn't even saved. But because the father knew that if he spoke, it had to go, he had faith for that, it happened. Faith can operate on at least three levels. One, the natural level, where our psychological makeup, the things we call our soul, has become trained in the walk of faith so that we manifest confidence. That's a natural level. I just know God can do it. I just know God can do it. I just know God can do it. That's natural. Amen. Number two, the spiritual level, where our faith is rooted in our relationship with the source of faith, Jesus Christ, God's Son, our Lord and Savior. And finally, all right, number two, the spiritual level, get that in you, where our faith is rooted in our relationship with the source of faith, which is Jesus Christ. You just know that you know that you know. And number three, the supernatural level, where the gifts of the Holy Spirit spring into momentary action by means of the anointing, suddenly producing a miracle. Now, you know, we're believing God for a new building. We're believing for God to bring the supernatural healings and everything into the church. Now, we keep believing. We have faith for that, don't we? Don't we have faith that we're going to get a new building? And don't we have faith that God has promised he's going to bring the healing back into the house of God? And we're walking by faith but for that. And we could be in here just like this morning, and all of a sudden God just drops a miracle of healing, and whoever needs a healing will receive that healing. It's because we've been having faith, and our faith keeps building and building, and we just, I don't know about you, but with the building and with the healing, I'm right there. I'm right there. I just know that I know that I know we're soon going to get that building. Amen. It's just like a, you know, it's just been building up, and just one day that's going to burst, and there everything's going to be, right? An example of the natural level of faith is riding a bicycle or learning to swim. It seems difficult at first, doesn't it? It is frightening to a novice or a child. Our mind tells us, don't do it. This is irrational. And I'm thought about that when, you know, little Isaiah's learned to ride his little trike, you know, and finally the other day you get on it and all around the kitchen. I said, hey, you learn how to do that thing. But he, you know how they do. They fuss and, you know, they kick against you and, you know, and, oh, I don't want to do it. I can't do it. And they cry. And all of a sudden he got on it and just started pedaling and off he went, you know. And it's like our faith. We, you know, we're working, building our faith, and just all of a sudden you're going to find out you're a faith temple. You know, you have faith for everything. All right, but after you have learned to do it, you are no longer afraid and you don't ever forget how. The awkward learning curve is replaced by the freedom that faith gives. And believe me, you can have faith to move a mountain. Spiritually and naturally, faith grows the same way. Both these actions, swimming and riding, require movement and risk. You can't swim until you get into the water. You can't ride a bike until you know you can do it. Conscious effort is eventually replaced by conscious confidence. All right? I have discovered over the years that all the gifts of the Spirit operate in much the same way. You can't partner with God in their manifestation until you first get out of the boat. God kept telling us every season, get out of the boat. We were in the safety zone. But we had to get into the danger zone. We had to go by faith. Now, how do you think, whenever God told Abraham, you're going to move, and Abraham told his wife, start packing up the tent, we're going to move, where are we going? I don't know where we're going. God just said to move. Faith. You know, they just packed all up and just started walking. And God took him where he wanted to go. Now, how many of you would do that? Brother Chris Gore did that one time. God spoke to him, told him to move, and move now. So he went home, packed all his belongings, and put everything in his car, and was sleeping in his car. And I got a visitation from another pastor. You got to get this thing right. He's messed up, and his mother's mad at you. I think his mother stayed mad at me. So I had to get old Chris and wait, make Chris, you know, that is the way we look what that word was saying. But see, he, by faith, he did what God said, move. And God said, move now. But I don't know if he had in his head he wanted to move or what. So you make sure you're doing the right thing, right? All right, you first have to get out of the boat. We see it, we say it, and then we do it. Then it becomes second nature to us and easy. But there may be times that we might have to say in Luke 17:5, and the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. How many of you have said that in the past? God, increase my faith. I've said that. I said, God, I'm sorry, my faith just isn't where it should be right now for this situation. Faith isn't just meant for church, but every area of our life. We are to live by faith, Romans 1:17. Walk by faith, Romans 4:12. Pray by faith, Matthew 21:22. Resist evil by faith, Ephesians 6:16. How many of you, whenever we say pray by faith, sometimes you don't even feel like praying? You know you have to pray, but you don't even know how to pray. Let's put it that way. And so you say, God, by faith, I'm just sitting here, and you know what's going on, and I'm just giving this thing to you because I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to say anymore, and so I'm just giving it to you. By faith, you're believing that God is going to take care of that situation, even though you don't know how to talk about it. All right, we are to overcome the world by faith. That's 1 John 2:13-17, and we're supposed to die in faith in Hebrews 11:13. We are to grow in faith. We're supposed to stand fast in faith, 1 Corinthians 16:13. Continue in faith, Acts 14:22. You can never stop your faith walk. You have to continue in it and grow. Be strong in faith, Romans 4:20-24. Abound in faith, in 2 Corinthians 8:7. Be grounded in faith, Colossians 1:23. Hold fast in faith, in 1 Timothy 1:19. Pray for the increase of faith, Luke 17:5. Have assurance of faith, 2 Timothy 2:12. Question right now. How many of you can honestly say in here this morning, my faith is not where it should be? You know, maybe some areas it is, but other areas it isn't. See, that's not right. Your faith should be on an even keel. It should be balanced out. You should have faith for everything, no matter what it is. I question, do you need more faith for your life? Don't worry, you can get it. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We have the same spirit of faith in Ephesians 6:16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Years and years ago, I remember reading about Kenneth Copeland, who had a bad back. Everybody prayed for him. Everybody did everything they could do, and his back still remained the same. So what he did, his wife has a healing school, I think, every Friday. I don't know. You know, it's once a week. And so every time she had her healing school, he would go. It was a labor to get there, but he would go, and he was set in her healing school, knowing that there was something in him that was blocking that healing. And he sat there for 2 years. And finally, one day, he was sitting there, and all of a sudden, God healed his back. He said, as far as he was concerned, his faith had grown to a place he could actually get healed. But how many of you would keep going to a service for 2 years in such excruciating pain? It was all you could do to get out of bed and go. And knowing there was something in you blocking that healing, and you knew if you sat there long enough, that thing would be unblocked. You see, we are an instant people anymore, and we want God to do everything instantly. We don't want to wait for nothing. And if it doesn't work, then we're a type of people that, well, that didn't work, and you walk away, and then instead of serving God, you start serving the devil. You start serving your flesh. Saints of God, He is an instant God, but he's also a God that makes you wait. Now, if God instantly gave you everything you wanted, you'd be a bunch of spoiled brats. And you wouldn't need faith, because you just knew that you knew that you knew that he was going to give you what you yelled and screamed about. Brother Chris Lynch was at my house the other day, and he said, well, every time I go to the store, his daughter wants something, and she cries until she gets it. Well, and that was Saturday morning. Then Saturday afternoon, I was in at Walmart, and I was, you know, walking down now that way, and I heard this woman say, now, I'll say Joey, now you know that you can't have a toy. You know that you have more toys than any kid should ever have. And Joey, crying is not going to get you a toy. Well, I was standing over in the other aisle, and all of a sudden, she's, now, Joey, you can't have the toy. And then it was in a big rage. Ooh, you know, he's really crying. And so I walked past, and I looked up there, and she was, now Joey, baby. She was holding the pen. Now, Joey, you know, mommy would like to give you that toy. I went on. I don't know if he got the toy or not. But, you know, I thought, now, yep. And, you know, she said, now crying is not going to do it. I'm not going to give in this time. I think she did, because of the way she's patting. And he really didn't need the toy. And he started pretending like he was crying, and he just escalated to it was a scream. So, you know, he had faith that if he cried long enough, he'd get what he wanted. So we should have faith that if we cry out to God long enough, he's going to give us what we want after everything is lined up, but not until then. Amen. You know, God says, come to me as little children. And so we have to go by faith to our Father, knowing that he hears us, he knows what's best for us. And he's not going to give us something that's going to harm us. He just is not. How many of you do not want God to give you anything that will harm you? Even though there's something you really desire, it's not good for you. It's going to take you deeper into the throes of hell. God is not going to give you that. If you get it all on your own, and it's going to take you to the throes of hell. So this morning, what I want you to do is I just want you to grow in your faith. I want you to start trusting and believing God with every fiber of your being that he does hear your prayer. He is going to answer that prayer, but it's in the right timing, whenever he's going to receive the glory. And quit trying to talk God into doing something that he's not ready to do. A lot of us do that. We talk to God and we try to talk him into doing the thing that we want him to do, but he doesn't even want to do it at all. And I'm so glad that I serve a sovereign God who is not going to give in to my temper tantrums. and give me what I want on the spot when he knows it's going to harm me. How about you? Father, I thank you this morning. I thank you for the ordinations. I thank you for your people came out. I see the hunger in your people's eyes, Father God. And I'm asking right now as they come to you in childlike faith that you increase their faith, Father, and that you take them to that mountaintop of faith where no matter what they pray for, Father, if it's your will, that they will receive it. And Father, I thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. What God is saying to me now, if there's any one of you here this morning that want your faith increased, that you want that childlike faith that he's called us to have, if you come forward, he's going to anoint you and you're going to see your faith grow from this moment on. And he said some of your faith is just a trickle, and he wants your faith to be a raging river that the enemy will tremble when you stand in his presence.